You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
All right. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 10th chapter. I want to minister this morning. In fact, I may start a series. I don't know. We'll see how this goes. If y'all really like this, I might preach on this a little more. We'll find out when this is over how y'all did. And just be easy on me now. This is the last Sunday morning service I'm going to get to preach before I turn 55. So, but I want to talk to you about something that makes a big impact on our life, that actually determines our moods and determines our future and determines our outlook, our present, and our future. Something we all do. You know, it's called thinking. Everybody say think. All right, it's important what you think. It's important what's going on inside your head. We may not lay a lot of importance on that, but I'll tell you, thoughts turn into words and words turn into actions. And, of course, actions will turn into lifestyles, things that we do. But there's a process, and the Bible's very plain about this. It has a lot to say about your mind, what's inside your head, you know. Because you're headed where your head is, okay? What you're thinking is going to determine what you're going to say and where you're going to go. Now, I can't always control the thoughts that come into my head, but I can control what I think on. I can't control the fact that I think, but I can control the facts that I think on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Trying to get all that out without getting confused. The fact is, we think. Can't control that. Thoughts come. Sometimes they're our thoughts. Sometimes they're not our thoughts. See, I think that's somewhere that we get in trouble, and sometimes we feel condemned because a bad thought will come. But doesn't, and we think it's us, but it's not necessarily us. You know, we have memories, that we live in a world, and that we have an enemy. The Bible says our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. The Bible says, submit yourselves to God, James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Well, what does the devil do? He doesn't show up with a fork and a pointed tail and, you know, a red hat and say, I'm the devil. It's usually your mother-in-law. But no, I'm just kidding. No. I got a great mother-in-law. I should not say that. She's the greatest woman to walk this earth beside my wife. But the devil comes in with thoughts. And sometimes we just feel so condemned because a thought came and we think that's us. Well, no, just throw it away. Just don't dwell on it. The thought of anger or lust or whatever the case may be. Hey, it's not that the thought coming, you can't prevent that. Those thoughts come. This world's full of all kinds of images and memories and experiences, and thoughts come. But now what you think on, you do have a choice in. Will you continue to think on it? Well, it's just a bad thing, it isn't. Do it. Would you show me that in the Scripture? That is not in the Scripture. It is a whole lot worse to do than it is to think. Amen? Thought comes, just don't think on it. Just don't meditate. Change it. Turn it around. You know. And that's what the Bible talks about. It talks about renewing your mind, you know. In Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And he's talking to Christians. We're believers. We know Jesus is Lord. He died for our sins. I'm going to heaven because of what he did. But if I'm going to live a successful life, Christian life, if I'm going to develop in love and compassion, and I'm going to be a better father and a husband and a grandfather and a pastor, if I'm going to be successful as a Christian, then I'm going to have to renew my mind. Yeah. I'm going to have to change some of the things that are going on in my head. Yeah. You know, things that I grew up thinking. And it's not just as simple as just putting new thoughts in my head. We're not talking about irrigating deserts here. We're talking about ripping up forests. We got to rip out some wrong thinking.
Yeah.
It's not just trying to figure out new ways to think. It's getting rid of old ways of thinking.
Yeah.
Our old ways of reaction, getting mad, getting revenge, and those kinds of things, and going my own way. I did it my way, you know. Well, your way is a highway, and it's not a highway to heaven.
Yeah.
The Bible says there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So God's got a good way for us. And we got to unlearn some things and then learn some new things. That's why when you get saved late in life, you're born again, you're saved, you're going to heaven. But sometimes it takes a while to get a hold of some of these concepts because you've been thinking the wrong way so long. Are you with me? I mean, me included. We all have to change the way we're thinking. You know, I think as Einstein said, that you're not going to solve the problems that you have or the problems that you created with the same level of thinking that you created them with. We got to, you know, if we found out we're the problem, then we must understand we're not the answer. We've got to get help somewhere else, amen, and change our level of thinking. And so that's really what this talks about here in the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. He talks about a warfare, a battle that's going on. You know there's a battle going on in your mind? It really is. If you can change your thinking, you can change your life. There's no question about that. It says here in the 10th chapter, the 4th verse, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or earthly, but mighty in God or through God for the pulling down of strongholds." Woohoo! There's a battle going on. Did you know there's a battle going on for your soul? There's a battle going on for your children. There's a battle going on for your marriage. There's a battle going on for your church. There's a battle going on for your country. There's a battle going on for your sanity. There's a battle going on. And it's not carnal battle. It's not really your next door neighbor. No, it's not. It's not really the president. Hello. Or your representative, or your senator, or your mayor, or your husband, or your wife. Let's just get right down to it. It's not that other person. No. The battle's in your mind. That's where it is. Everything can be happening around you. You can have peace of mind.
That's right.
Because you can control and you choose what you think of. You choose what you believe. So he says, "The weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." That's why I said it's not about just getting new thoughts in your head. It's about pulling out and rooting out some of those old ones. If I'm going to take over a piece of property, you know, sometimes you get there and there's trees and thorns and briars on that property. I could go out there and just try to plant some corn in the middle of all that. Wouldn't be very productive, would it? So you say, "Well, I just need to get some more seed in the ground." Well, that's fine, but you're going to have to root out some things that are choking out the seed in order for it to grow. And so the old way of living is no good. We don't just add Jesus to our lifestyle. I've been living a certain way, and I just added Jesus. Jesus is not an ingredient on a recipe. He's not an ingredient in a recipe for a good life, okay? He is good life. He is what it's all about. You don't add Him to your lifestyle, to what you're doing. You change everything you're doing and let Him be Lord. And that takes time, you know, but it's worth the effort. Amen? Anybody ever been physically weak that got stronger through working out? Two of you have. That's good. The rest of y'all will think about working out, exercise. You can improve your body with exercise. A weak body can be improved by effort and by exercise. Well, you know, you can improve a doubtful mind, a worry-wart mind. You can improve a negative mind, a weak mind. How? Well, by exercising it, by working out your mind, by purposely thinking on good things and purposely, you know, getting the Scripture and finding out what God says and saying what God says. Purposely rooting down those negative thoughts and casting those thoughts out, like it goes on to say here. Listen to this. 5th verse. "Casting down arguments or imaginations." Legisimo, I believe, is the Greek word we get the word logic from. Arguments. "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Wow, now we've got a rule. We've got a standard to go by here. So if my thinking is against what God says, then I need to root that out. That's a briar, that's a thorn, that's a thistle. Are you with me? That's something I need to dig out. I need to cast it down. I need to quit thinking that way. I need to quit saying God can't, and I need to start saying God can't. Amen? I need to watch my thoughts, because this is where the battle is. "The weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." That can be a stronghold in your mind. God just can't do anything with me. See, that's a thought, that's a stronghold that you need to root out. Oh, I'll never be anything for God. Or I'll never be a good wife. I'll never be a good husband. I'll never have a good marriage. Whoa, wait, slow down. Get a bulldozer, whatever you got to have. Let's root this out. Let's cast this thing down. That is the thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God that says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's the thought that says that you're more than a conqueror through Christ, that exalts itself against that scripture, "I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me." With God, all things are possible. And all things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus said, Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believeth. You can come out of that mess you're in. You can have a better life. You can have a better marriage. You can get out of that depression. You can, you can, you can. See, the battle starts in the mind. It's the first step. This is what we got. It's the process of winning in life. You start with thinking. You start with your thought life. And this is the stronghold many times that holds us back from serving God. I can never be used by God. People don't like me. I'm not bold enough. Come on now. We're not all the same, I understand that. But you are not trapped. The Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursueth, Proverbs 28:1, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I may not be as bold as the next guy, I may be bolder than another guy. But I tell you what, in Christ I do have boldness. In whom I have boldness. See, there's God's Word, and there's the thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So I need to be selective in my thinking. Every thought that comes is not right and okay and good. So I need a standard to know what's right, good, and okay. And that's the Word. Woo! So when I start thinking things about my family, or about my business, or about my future, I need to set them up against the Bible and see if they pass the test. And if they don't meet the requirements of God's Word, if they exalt themselves against God's knowledge, then I need to root them out and I need to tear them down. Well, I'm just no good and I always mess up. And oh, no, wait a minute. Is that what God says? Is that what God says? God doesn't say that. See, God sees what we can be. And He's doing everything He can to convince us of it, you know, to get a hold of what He knows we can be, what He knows we can do, and what He knows we have. You know, I love that saying that Brother Osteen used to always say this. He'd hold up the Bible before he'd start a sermon. He said, everybody stand up, get your Bible, hold it up, say this with me. Everybody ready? Everybody ready? Oh, yeah. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. This is the ever incorruptible, ever living seed of the Word of God. My mind is open, my heart is open, I will receive it, you know. But that's the point we got to get to. That's I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have, and I can do what God says I can do.
That's right.
Now, you're not going to be Superwoman, Superman overnight, but you can make changes. Amen. You can start improving. You can start getting better.
Amen.
But it's going to take some fighting because there's a battle going on. And you've got to pull down some strongholds in your mind. That's where they are. That's where the devil has set up a stronghold. He's got a foothold in your mind. Are you with me? I've had them. I mean, we've all had them. We could go through a list of things that have held us back. You know, I used to be so nervous in a crowd. I didn't like to be in a crowd. How ironic that God would call me to pastor. And when I got saved, I got into Lakewood Church where there were thousands of people. I had to break through that. You know, you break through this, what are they thinking about you? Because there's a lot of people, there's more of y'all looking at me than me looking at you right now. And if you think wrongly about it, it can affect you, it can make you real nervous. I mean, you can have stage fright. I've had it before. I mean, come on. But you finally change your thinking about that. Because if you're getting nervous, it's not everybody looking at you, it's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah. If there were 5,000 of you looking at me, it wouldn't make any difference. It's what I think about that that's going to make me nervous. I'm very comfortable right now. I love preaching. I love the Word. I know you love me.
Yeah.
I know you want me to do good. Because you don't want a bad sermon. That's boring. You know, why put yourself through that torture? So you really do want me to do well. Don't you? Okay. I remember Chico Holliday. Remember Chico Holliday? I'm going to date myself. Y'all remember Chico Holliday? He was a singer, you know, and he got saved. And he came to Lakewood years ago. This is back in the 70s, I guess, when I was like 5 or 10 or I don't know. But anyway, he came to Lakewood and he got up and he said he used to be real nervous when he'd get in front of a crowd. And I related to that. I thought, well, that's good. Yeah, I've been there. Know what that feels like. And he said, you know, I was so worried about what everybody was thinking about me. And he said, one day God told me, He just showed me, He says, Chico, they're not thinking about you. They're thinking about what you're thinking about them. Are you with me? And so he said, it set me free. You know, we're always so concerned about what everybody else is thinking. Well, what they're thinking is they're thinking about what you're thinking about them. Yeah. I mean, when I stop on someone and look, he was preaching to me. He meant that. Well, no, actually, I was just walking and you happened to be where I stopped, you know. But people think, and I know the Spirit can use that. I mean, he can use a point that I'm making when I stop and dwell on you, Mo. But your thinking determines your outlook. It determines your attitude. It determines your mood. It determines your perception and your future, even. You know, if you don't get a hold of your thinking, get a grip on your thinking, you're going to be in trouble, for sure. And that's why God says so much about it. He says, casting down arguments and every thought or high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought into captivity now unto the obedience of Christ. That is so important. Because God says something, and sometimes you have a thought that says something else. Isn't that right? Well, you need to lasso that. You need to get on your horse, and you need to get your lariat out, and you need to lasso that thought and rein it in. Because it's running off. It's going wild. It's thinking something opposite of what God says. It's telling you something about your future that God doesn't say. I love the Phillips translation here. This is so good. Our battle is to break down the fifth verse, Corinthians 10:5. Our battle is to break down every deceptive argument and every imposing defense that men erect against the knowledge of God. We fight to capture every thought until it acknowledges the authority of Christ. Wow. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? The authority of Christ. In other words, when I say something opposite of what God says, I'm saying that what I'm saying is a higher authority than what God says. No. I need to submit that thought to the authority of Christ. If I say something that disagrees with the Bible, I need to say God's got the final authority. I'm going to bring this thought in to make it bow down to the authority of Christ. By His stripes I was healed. Hallelujah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, Isaiah 26:3. Are you with me? When depression tries to roll in, I am so depressed. No, that thought, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say what God says, because I'm going to submit that thought to the authority of Christ, which says that in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's a determination. And that thought, if I change my thinking, I can change my mood. I can be happy. It may take practice, it may take discipline, it may take effort, but it is worth the effort. Hallelujah. We may not want to work out, but I'll tell you, working out makes you strong. Amen. We may not want to think this way and make ourselves think a certain way. See, we hadn't really been paying attention. That's the problem. We hadn't purposely been thinking about something. We'd just been thinking. You think? But we hadn't really been thinking about what we're thinking. We've just been thinking. We're saying think with a purpose. Think with a plan. Examine your thoughts just like you examine your actions. You wouldn't do certain things, but you will do certain things. Well, don't think certain things. Well, I don't like that person. Well, hey, don't think that, okay? Don't go there. Don't start picking out everything you don't like about that person and start, you know, playing a movie. I mean, that's like a 4-hour movie. You start thinking about all the things you don't like. I don't like this. And I'll tell you what, you know, I don't like that either. And I, you know what, I hadn't thought about this, but I don't like that either. For long, you're just thinking all kinds of stuff you don't like. Stop it. Hello. Pray for them. It'll change the way you think. Woo. Mark Twain, you know, he said something about thinking. I thought it was pretty good. He said, I've been through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened. You know what I'm talking about. Because most of what we worry about doesn't happen, really. I mean, it seems like a big deal, but next year, we can't even remember what it was, you know. 10 years, it's gone. There's no way. Because we magnify problems. We just make them big by talking and thinking about them, meditating on them. Hey, turn that brain off, or check that brain into another store. Another, go into the Bible and start picking things off this shelf, amen? And start thinking what God says to think. That's what we should do. And it's amazing when He'll put the Word in you. It'll go to work. It'll start working. If you'll meditate on the Word and you'll start reading the Word, I cannot count the times that I have gone to the Word in a tizzy. Okay? I mean, I'm just, you know, you been there? About to come unglued, man. I'm rattled. You ever been rattled? Am I talking to the right crowd? Are you with me? Okay. You know, I just stirred up about something and I just, I just can't let it go. And I just stop. Okay, that's it. I'm done. And I just sit down and I start reading the Bible. Read a chapter. Still a little mad, but I'm a little better. Read another chapter. Yeah. Start feeling a little better. Read another chapter. All of a sudden, it starts changing everything. Everything, I start calming down. I start realizing where I've been in sin, repent, ask God to forgive me, you know. And I start feeling a whole lot, but the Word does that. See, the Word, once you get it in you, it'll go to work. You don't even have to make it work in that respect. If you will take time and you'll meditate on the Word, it's kind of like, you know, you got organs in your body. You have all these involuntary actions that take place when you eat food. You know, you don't eat food and then command it to change, you know, this and that and assimilate the nutritious parts of that food and throw the rest away and think. Let's think real hard, man. Let's make it turn protein turn into muscle. Come on. Come on. Come on now. Yeah, come on. Get over here. Get over here. You're not doing it. You just eat the food. And your body will take over because it has all these involuntary actions and functions that it takes care of. Well, see, the Word's that way, and so is your spirit. If you put the Word in your spirit will just take that Word and it'll work miracles inside of you. You don't even realize it's going on. But you do your part. You get the Word in you. You don't have to make it happen. Your spiritual organs will take over and they'll start assimilating that Word. It'll change your mood and your thinking and your life will get brighter. The sun will get brighter. Mr. Bluebird will land on your shoulder. You'll be singing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. And you don't realize why, but it's because you've gotten the Word in you. You've gotten the Word in you, and the Word starts working. The earth brings forth fruit of itself. Farmer doesn't tell the ground what to do. The farmer just puts the seed in the ground. Waters and weeds out some weeds because they'll grow up, and you've got to root those out, those bad thoughts, weeds. But the ground itself will germinate that seed. He doesn't lay on the ground at night, talk to the ground. Now that seed's in there. Come on now, you germinate that seed. You do what? Get those nutrients in. Come on, you can do it. No, he does his part. His part's put the Word in there, put the seed in there, and water it, and the earth will take care of itself. Your part is to get the Word in you, start meditating, start thinking about it, and you know what? The Word will start working in you. Your spirit will pick up on it. Your spirit was made to be fed by the Word. It was made. It soaks up. It just absorbs it, and it produces what you put in it. Bad thing is that you put bad stuff in, it'll produce that too. Are you with me? That's why it starts with thoughts. You've got to make sure, you know, you're thinking right here, because you don't want to produce the wrong thing. And whatever you meditate on, you're going to produce. So, he says, y'all getting this? Yeah. This helping you? Okay, it's important what we think on. It's where it all starts, man. Spend a lot of time meditating on the Word, thinking on the Word. You know, I think of Psalms. I quoted a lot, Psalms 1. It says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor stands in the way of the sinner, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. That's Psalms 1, first couple verses there. But if you take it apart, he doesn't listen to counsel, ungodly counsel. You know, revenge type counsel. Get back at that person type. Hello, are you with me? That's kind of what most of the movies are. You know, they're just kind of, you know, revenge type things. At first they create an enemy, and then the end of the show is when they kill the enemy. But life really doesn't work that way because you can't go around shooting everybody. Right. Hello. And God actually wants people to repent and get over and win. Now that would be a great movie, wouldn't it? Have an enemy that actually gets saved and gets redeemed and set free. But that doesn't really sell that well. You know, but life in reality doesn't work the way movies work. We're not Clint Eastwood. We can't shoot everybody. Boy, I'm dating myself now. Not John Wayne either. Okay. You know, where you just kill all the bad guys and that's it. You know. No, life's not that simple. You know, you got to deal with people and you got to watch what you think about people and you need to learn to pray for people. God wants everybody to win. He wants your enemies to win. He really does. And he's into win-win. But that's a different way of thinking to do that. Amen? You've got to cast down arguments and imaginations and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And you've got to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Turn over to Matthew 6. I want to think right. Change your thinking, change your life. That's why we come to church, you know. I like to say it this way. We don't come to church to find out if we believe. We come to church to find out what we believe. Isn't that right? I am a believer. That's what I am. That's what you are. If you're a Christian, you turn your life over to Jesus, you're a believer. So why do we come to church for? To find out what we believe. Well, I read the Bible to find out what I believe. This is what I believe. And sometimes I realize I have been believing wrong. Sometimes I read along here and I've been thinking wrong. That's what I need to root it down and get that stronghold the devil has in my mind out of my mind. Certain ways of thinking, concepts, the way you look at situations, you know. Don't be a worry-worry. God doesn't want you to worry. Notice this. This is Matthew 6. Jesus is talking about taking care of sparrows and taking care of lilies of the field. And he's talking about how we worry and we say, what should we eat? What should we drink? What should we be clothed with? And so on and so forth. And he says this in the 25th verse. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. You know, I think it's interesting that when God says don't think a certain way or don't say this or don't worry about that, it all has to do with something negative, doesn't it? That really ought to be pretty insightful. That tells us that those negative things coming, that's not God talking to us. In fact, he never tells you, don't think positive. Don't believe you can make it. Woo-hoo. Don't think it's going to be all right. He never says that. He always says, don't be negative. Don't worry. Isn't that right? So that's not from God. He's telling us right there, those thoughts are not from God. That is not God's will. Be depressed. Don't be troubled. He doesn't say, now you be troubled now. You go along, y'all worry. Y'all worry as much as you can. And when you feel like you can't worry anymore, just worry some more. No, he doesn't say that. In fact, he says, I say to you, do not worry. What you will drink, what about your body, what you put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. How many of you are alive today? Lift your hand. Good. We'll make sure. A couple of you out there, I'm wondering about. Okay. God gave you life today, didn't he? You walked in here on your own accord, your own volition. You came in here breathing, you know. That's wonderful, isn't it? Well, if God did that, don't you think he'll feed you and clothe you? The life's more than the meat, more than the clothes, more than the food. You're alive. He'll take care of the rest. Don't worry about that. The life is more than the food. And if God gave you life, he'll give you the food. Let's don't insult him and think, well, he'll let us live, but he's not going to feed us. If he let us live, he will feed us. And he has let us live. Amen. Praise God. So he says this. Therefore I say to you, 25th verse, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat, what you should drink, or your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He wasn't saying you don't need clothes, you don't need food, you don't need drink. He's saying that your life is more important than that, and I gave you that. I'll give you the other. Look at the birds. Next verse. The birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Wow, takes care of the birds, you'll take care of me. Next verse. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? You can't grow by worry. You know, worrying is like being in a rocking chair. A lot of activity going on, but you're not getting anywhere. And you can wear yourself out in a rocking chair, but you're not going to get anywhere. And worry, yeah, that's what worrying does. Hallelujah. Spends a lot of your time on useless stuff. It actually makes you miserable, and most of it doesn't happen anyway. Well, he says this, 27th verse, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? 28th verse, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They're not worried trying to make themselves grow. They just grow. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed or clothed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more shall he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? We need to change our thinking, amen? And then he says this, I just love this. 31st verse, therefore do not worry, saying, or King James says, take no thought, saying. Take no thought, saying. Everybody say, take no thought. Saying. Okay, so when do I take that thought? When I say it. Isn't that right? So the thought can come, but I hadn't taken it yet. Isn't that right? And actually, if he says, take it, it really, someone else is offering it to me. And it's not God. Are you with me? See, there is a devil out there. I mean, and there's demon forces and so on. I'm not looking for one under every bush, and I don't believe Mama-Law's got one. But I know they're real. I mean, the Bible talks about them. But he messes with our minds, what he messes with. And he comes and he gives us these thoughts. And you know what? We think we thought those thoughts. That's a lot of thinking in one verse. But anyway, we think we thought those thoughts. But no, he gave us those thoughts, and we took them. We took them. And God's saying, don't you take that thought. He's not even telling us it's our thought. He said, someone's trying to offer that to you. Don't you take it. And just the fact that it came doesn't mean it's yours or that it's going to happen. Now is the choice. Are you going to take it or not? If somebody knocks on your door with a bag of rattlesnakes, would you receive that shipment? No. I would probably decline. Even if it had my name on it. Yeah. You take that back to whoever sent it. I'm not taking that. But a lot of times thoughts will come, and you know, they hadn't consummated yet. They hadn't happened yet. We never worry about what has happened. We're always worried about what's going to happen. Every worry is a prophecy. Yeah. Every worry is a prediction. It's a prophecy of doom, gloom, something negative, something destructive, something that will hurt. But it hasn't happened yet. Every positive thought is just the same way. Really, when you think about it, it's a prediction of something good. When we believe God and trust God, that's a prediction or a prophecy of something good. We believe something good is going to happen because God says so. Now, worry is we believe something bad is going to happen because we got a thought. Not because God said so. But because it happened before, or because we've seen it happen in somebody else's life, or because it's a possibility. But it hadn't happened. It's just a prophecy right now. It's just a worry. And we begin to prophesy. Just walk all over the house prophesying. Worry, 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 worry. Just prophesying and prophesying and little prophets is what we are. Little prophets prophesying. But see, God's saying that's not a good prophecy. Don't want that to happen. Don't be prophesying that, little prophet. Come over here and find out what I had to say. Submit that to the authority of Christ. Submit your prophecy to His authority. Are you with me? And quit saying that. That's interesting. He said, don't say that. Well, what am I going to do? Don't say that. But how? Don't say it. Are you with me? Because see, now it's going to the second stage. Now it's not a thought. Now you're taking it. It's one thing to think it. It's another thing to say it. So take no thought saying, oh, I love that. Don't you love that? Now, that's a discipline. See, that's a working out. That's an exercise. We're exercising our mind. We're working out our mind. We're watching what's coming in and what's, you know, what's trying to get a hold of us. And we're rooting it out. And we're tearing it down. We're casting down imaginations and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We are ripping out this jungle of trees and briars, and because we're going to plant some good seed here, and we got to get this stuff out of the way, or it'll choke out the word. And see, I think that's where we miss it sometimes. We don't spend a lot of time changing the way we think. We try to just add stuff to it. Are you with me? Now, granted, you get enough word in you, it'll start changing the way you think because your spirit will take over. But you got to quit taking in the bad. Isn't that right? Okay. Is this helping anybody? Okay, I know it's not just we're not just jumping up and swinging from the chandeliers. That's why I don't have them in here, because I know how y'all are. You just put chandeliers in here, y'all just ruin them swinging. But still, good teaching nonetheless. This will help your marriage. Listen, this will help you. This will help your business. This will help you battle depression and fight rejection. This will help you prosper in your life. This will help you be used by God. This will give you confidence. Start thinking right. Just quit that wrong kind of thinking. You know, what are they thinking about me? Do they like me? Do they not like me? Well, I hope they do. I mean, you know, I don't want people to hate me, but I know God loves me and He's for me. I know He accepted me. He didn't reject me. He loves me. He's crazy about me. He sent Jesus down a cross for me. My goodness, God loves me with an everlasting love greater than anybody ever could love me. The maker and the creator of the whole universe. You talk about dropping names. I can drop some names. God is my Father. Hallelujah. We're just like this. Oh, we're close. We're tight. Me and God, we're tight. He's my Father. Hey, I'm already in the best circle I could be in. I'm already in that inner circle with Him.
Praise God.
I've already been accepted by the greatest person that ever existed or ever will. The ultimate person of all personhood. The ultimate fact of all facthood. God, the Creator and the Maker of all that is my Daddy. So, you know, yeah, we want people to like us, but, you know, don't go overboard with that. Don't spend your time spending all your life trying to make people like you. Live your life and love people and do right. Everybody's not going to like you. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Everybody doesn't like me. Everybody doesn't love my preaching. Some people think I'm too funny. Some people think I'm not funny enough. Some think I'm too Holy Ghost. Some people think I'm not Holy Ghost enough. My goodness, the porridge is too hot. It's too cold. Come on, Goldilocks. Find something you like and stay there. Hang in there with it. Are you out there? I mean, get in church somewhere and quit criticizing. Just come on. We'll take you. You don't have to like me to come here. Just come. I like you. I'll pray for you. Not your mind. See how mind just messes you up, messes your day up, messes your outlook up, messes your marriage up. Why'd she say that? Why'd he say that? I saw that look. I saw you. I did. What did I say? I saw you did. You did that thing with your eye. I saw that. You did it. You did it again. Right then. You did it. What? What are you talking about? What? And we start second-guessing everybody. We start, our mind just plays tricks on us. Are you out there? Where did I tell y'all to turn to? Oh, Matthew 6. Yeah, that's where we are. Okay. So don't take the thought saying. Don't take the thought. You know, Luke's account of this in Matthew 6. You don't have to turn there. But Luke's account, the 12th chapter of Luke, he talks about this same thing. About, you know, what you don't say, what shall I eat, what shall I drink. Don't say that. Don't do that. I tell you what you should say. My God shall supply all my need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. The young lions who lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. He daily loads me with His benefits. He delights in my prosperity. Hallelujah. Start saying what God says. Replace that. Root that out and start saying what God says. But I love this in the... In Luke's account, 12:29, if you're writing notes, it says, "And seek not ye what you shall eat, what you shall drink, neither be you of a doubtful mind." Because that's what it is. That negativity is, we don't always put it in that category. We don't think about worry as sin, but it really is because it's doubtful. It doubts God's ability to help us. It doubts God's ability to heal us, God's ability to... provide for us. Are you with me? To give us peace and so on and so forth. Let's don't go there. Let's don't be anxious and of a troubled mind. That's what the Amplified says. Anxious, troubled mind, worried, and in suspense. No, we don't want to do that. Amen? Hallelujah. We want to think good thoughts, but God thoughts. You know, not just mind over matter. We're talking about God's thoughts over matter. We're not talking about just being more positive. We're talking about being more biblical, more scriptural. There's a fine line there because I know, you know, some people say, well, you're just talking about positive attitude. Well, I am, but I'm not talking about you doing it on your own. We're talking about doing it with the power of God. And we're not talking about just thinking good thoughts. We're talking about thinking Bible thoughts. Amen? And bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ, to the authority of Christ. Does that thought, does it refute what God says or does it agree with what God says? Examine your thoughts. Think about your thinking. Okay? Think about what you think. And your life will be better because God says so. And I guarantee you probably 95%, there's that 95%, Biddy, probably 95% of our problems are mental. They're what we think on. It's like, somebody, it wasn't Yogi Bear, but it was one of those coaches said the same thing. He says, on the field here, it's 50% athletic and it's 95% mental. He didn't quite get the quote right, but anyway, that's what he said. But most of life is what's going on in our head. Let's get our thought life down.